Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
John and Ken Show. John Cobell, Ken Champeau, KFI, AM 640 Live. Everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Welcome.
Welcome.
Yeah.
I don't think we both said the same thing at the same time.
Well, it's the same thing we say every day.
I'm standing in an hour or two ago. I'm standing in the middle of a CVS, and suddenly my phone is like buzzing in my pocket. Weep, like, what the hell? What did I do? Did I shoplift? It's that gas leak in Downey. Did you get that on your smartphone?
I did. I don't think I was near my phone. I found an emergency alert waiting for me.
Yeah, if your phone's on you at the time, man, that's you got to stop everything you're doing because it sounds like, holy mackerel, nuclear attack, run!
It was kind of disappointing. It was only a gas leak
in
Downey.
Sometimes it's an Amber Alert. I know they do that, but I didn't know what. I hadn't had one in a while. Or maybe, man, COVID, a new mutation? A triple mutation.
I was hoping it was a tsunami, maybe.
I got it too. It scared the heck out of me and until I saw it and I thought, okay.
I don't live anywhere near Downey. I don't really understand. Stay away from area, it's
gas travels. We got a pretty serious story here.
And we're going to start by playing the TV report, which will set this up. We talked about this yesterday. It's a home that burned in Venice, and the suspicion is arson. And further, the suspicion is it may have been a vagrant that started this. Now, this is not proven yet, so we want to make that clear. And we talked about this with the neighbor of the woman's home that burned. We're going to talk to the actual woman who lives in that home. And as we mentioned, the fire killed her animal, her pet dog.
She lost her home and her dog.
Here is ABC7's Jory Rand.
When is it going to be enough?
An overnight fire at a Venice bungalow, the latest in a string of dangerous incidents that is quickly making parts of Venice unlivable.
The chaos on the street it's unbearable. I don't walk my dog at night. We sometimes drive to Santa Monica to walk him in the morning so we don't have to deal with all the things that are going on around here.
The fire broke out a little before 4 a.m. Nobody was home at the time, but the homeowner's dog did not survive.
I heard a dog yelping and screaming like I've never heard before.
This photo shows the owner weeping beneath the body of her beloved dog Togo, wrapped in a sheet. The fire may have been arson. Firefighters telling local reporters they think someone threw something over the fence. Residents believe it was payback for recent incidents involving the homeless. There's a large tent encampment outside just across the street from Westminster Avenue Elementary.
We live with feces all around our house. Syringe needles have been found. We're living in a war zone here.
Residents say no resources are provided for those living on the streets, and offers of help are being inexplicably refused.
2 weeks ago, I actually volunteered 20 beds to this very encampment, and I offered it to our councilman's office, and they actually declined and said no.
Did they give you a reason?
You know what? He hung up on me before he could actually give a reason.
That would be Councilman Mike Bonin, and there's a long list of angry residents who say their calls for help continue to be ignored.
I have email chains, not even from a week ago, in which Mike Bonin is on it, and I warned them. I said, this is an escalating situation. Something is really wrong in this neighborhood. It was just sort of a matter of time, like when was something horrid gonna happen? And unfortunately, last night it happened right here. It's essentially like a grand experiment of plopping Skid Row deep into a residential neighborhood. And there's just no good comes of it.
That is from ABC7 and Jory Rand. And yeah, it's Mike Bonin's council district, the monster that is destroying nice neighborhoods with his aggressive homeless policies. Not surprised that they wouldn't take the beds. I know in the encampment near my house, about a mile away, it's set up there on purpose. There's an organized group that has created that homeless camp. And I'm starting to think that a lot of these homeless camps are being put there on purpose as a statement against people who want to live in a normal, civilized way. And that's why they have no need for any help. In fact, they're probably told not to accept the help because that would undermine the message here, is that we're going to live wherever we want and nobody is entitled to have a peaceful neighborhood. We're going to talk to Courtney now. She is the Venice homeowner whose home burned and her dog died. And Courtney, we feel really bad for you. We're really sorry this happened.
Thank you for reaching out. I thank you to everyone who came out and helped me yesterday also. I, in words, cannot really express how grateful I am for people in the community that came out, neighbors who I've met, neighbors who I haven't met, people from the police department, from the fire department. There were some of the people, the local community, even some of the transient, like some of the people who the transient community that lives near the dog park, even some of them were helping. People came out of the woodwork to help me, and they did try to get my dog out. But I know we didn't make it, but I do appreciate that everyone did try. So thank you for helping.
What kind of a dog was it? What was its name?
He was a rescue dog. So he was a rescue puppy. He was a little mix of a bunch of things, but 100% good boy. He was maybe a shepherd mix with maybe like Belgian Malinois, and he actually would go running with me. There's a running group that I go with during the week, this community running group called Midnight Runners, and he would come jogging with me with all of those guys, and then, you know, and then just walk around with me around the neighborhood, and or he'd, you know, go play at the dog park. We actually did a big running competition, did like 200 miles in like 2 weeks, and he did that, went on hiking and trails. He was a good dog.
We have a link to the GoFundMe that Midnight Runner set up for you, Courtney, and when you click it, you will immediately see a picture. I guess that's you with the dog?
They set it up for me. I didn't even know. I haven't checked my, like, there's something was set up yesterday, I think. I haven't gone online and seen, like, there's like...
Well, I tell you, you have a lot of support. It's a $10,000 goal, and they're almost there already, 96.18. So, and now we're inviting listeners to click the link and maybe donate. It's terrible that you lost your beloved pet and your home. I mean, how does that affect you? Do you have insurance? How's that going to work?
I'm just kind of taking everything one step at a time right now. I had insurance, all of the paperwork for it, and my computer was inside the house, so all of my records and everything. So I everything's kind of a one step at a time kind of thing at this point. But as far as for, how does it make me feel? I've volunteered. So just to give you my background, I am from the community. I actually, I was a combat medic. I served in the military, and then I went to medical school, and I actually volunteered. So I work in the public sector. I worked in the big public county hospital in Miami, Big Jackson Memorial, when I was going to medical school, and I did trauma medicine there. And then out LA County, out here, I did my residency training for pediatric trauma. And then I went overseas for 5 years, and I did 5 years volunteering for free as a physician, humanitarian aid and disaster relief medicine volunteer. So I did that for 5 years overseas before coming back to California, and I just got the house. And then as soon as I got back, COVID happened, so I went and volunteered in New York in the Bronx as a volunteer physician for that as well. I've helped with the earthquakes in Nepal. I was at a clinic in orphanages in the Bahamas after the hurricanes. I worked in refugee camps. So just to give you my background, I've been in places where things are set on fire and other people's lives are, I've seen disasters, and I try to help. And it's walking, it's something a little different when you walk home and it's your own home that is the place where something unexpected happens. But what I did see, how I, in terms of how I felt,
Your neighbors seem to think this was some kind of retaliation from somebody in the homeless camp. What do you think?
I mean, what I focused on was all of the people that came together to help. There was people that came and from all over and were working together to help me to try to, you know, find anything salvageable in the house and kind of just be there for me. As far as for retribution, I don't know anyone in the homeless community that would have done it, because of the community that's near the house, to be honest, the locals that live nearby, they all knew my dog and me. And I, at the dog park, my dog would play with all of their dogs. And you know, they all knew him and loved him. And I would stitch those guys up. If those guys needed medical help, I would help them. You know, just, I have medical supplies at my house because of what I do. I've stitched up them. I've stitched up their dogs. I've done the same for my neighbors. We had somebody, the neighborhood, there's people that I think come through there transiently that have not, they're not a part of the community. And I'm guessing that's what whoever did this was, because they didn't know me or my dog.
Right. Could you hold on? Hold on, Courtney. We want to talk to you a little bit further. If you could just hang on for us.
Sure.
Her name is Courtney. She has a home in Venice. Well, she did. It burnt down early yesterday morning. We talked about this later in the show yesterday. Neighbors suspect that some of the homeless activity in the neighborhood could have caused the fire, perhaps even arson. Even though, fortunately, Courtney was at work at the time, but she lost her pet, a dog by the name of Togo. We have a GoFundMe link that we picked up from Midnight Runners LA, of which Courtney just told us she's a member of, and she used to run with the dog. If you want to donate, just follow the links from our webpage, KFIAM640.com, John and Ken, and find your way to the GoFundMe, and we'll ask Courtney a little bit more about this horrible incident in Venice. Coming up.
John and Ken, KFI. John and Ken Show, John Cobalt and Ken Champeau, KFI. AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. And listeners already, while we were talking to Courtney, are donating to her GoFundMe page. Actually, a GoFundMe page set up by her friends.
At Midnight Runners LA. And of course, Courtney is the woman that lost her home and her pet dog to a fire in Venice. It's suspicious, and the suspicion is it may be an arson situation. Fortunately, it was very early in the morning, and Courtney was not home at the time, or it could have been a even worse tragedy. And
her neighbors think it's from a homeless encampment.
She does have some things to tell us. Let's get Courtney back on the air concerning the homeless issue in her neighborhood. And Courtney, some people said that you may have had confrontations. Can you explain what they meant by that?
So, from what they were probably referring to is a couple of days ago, there was...
Are you on a speakerphone?
Yes. Would it be easier for me to talk?
Put it on the... Sure. Talk right in the receiver. We can hear you a little more clearly.
Oh, okay. Is that better?
Yeah, that's
yes.
Better.
Okay. Okay. So, okay. Thank you. So, there was, the other morning, there was... I saw out my window, there was a gentleman who I... don't know where he was from, but he was clearly mentally unstable because he was posturing in the alleyway right outside of my gate, broad daylight, right across the street from an elementary school in the morning, and he was having an argument with an imaginary person. I've worked with mentally unstable people before in the hospital. I've seen them, you know, overseas in refugee camps too, but this guy was talking to voices in his head and threatening someone who didn't exist in reality, but it did exist in his mind. And there's a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old that live in the house. I share a common garden area where our gate walks out into the alleyway. That's how we get out of our houses. So I'm in one house, and then the other house is a family where there's 2 little boys. And I saw this gentleman outside the gate, and I literally didn't want the 3-year-old or the 6-year-old walking out, you know, and encountering him. So I walked out myself, and I asked him if he was okay. He was clearly looking and trying to threaten like some imaginary person in the fence wall when I opened the gate. And then he was looking at me. I asked him if he was okay and if he needed help. And I talked him down, and he said he thought he had killed Bin Laden. And he was, you know, upset. No one gave him credit. And he, you know, his, you know, he needed to fight this person. And I talked to him. I'm a veteran myself. And I said, you know, I talked him down. And I said, thank you for what, you know, he clearly was not. But I talked him down, and then I actually offered him food I said, you know, I'm really sorry you're dealing with all of this. It's a, you know, but there's children here. So is there any way, you know, if you need food or anything, it can be scary to people. And I know you're not a scary person, but I just, you know, think it might be, you know, is there anything I can do to help that maybe you can, you know, you're scaring people. And I offered him food and I brought him food and he, you know, he said, thank you. He then asked me for booze. And I did not bring him any of that, but I said, I'm really sorry, but I can give you at least this. And so I gave him a bunch of the food and, you know, water and, you know, stuff to drink and eat. And then he just kind of walked away. But that was the confrontation involved me. Basically, I went out to talk to him so that a child didn't have to be accidentally in front of this person. He had no idea where he was or what was going on. And I hope he found help. But I just didn't want anything happening with the kids that would have been potentially walking out of the gate instead of me. So that's why I went out first. That happened a couple of days prior to this in my front yard.
We also understand you spoke to Mike Bonin recently, the councilman.
So I went the day that happened, where there was this mentally unstable person in broad daylight wandering around. As I was talking him down, I got a parking ticket.
For goodness sakes.
While I was spending 25 minutes talking down someone to protect a child inside a house and the elementary school children across the street, I got a parking ticket. So I don't ever usually raise my voice or do anything. I just kind of do my service, do my volunteering and do my runs, that kind of stuff. But when I walked to the car and saw the parking ticket after I just spent 25 minutes dealing with this person who should not be anywhere near children or vulnerable populations at all. I don't want him near anyone in the community because people like that they can potentially hurt people. They don't even know what they're doing when they hurt people is the scary part. And I went and I called the office because I didn't know. I went to the police first and asked them how I could help them because I know it's not the police's fault. Their hands are tied. You know, they're doing the best they can with limited resources, but I went and I asked them, what would you like me to bring up? How can I help you with the council, you know, office? Is there any suggestions for me to help give a voice to you guys and help you do your job? Because I realize none of this is your fault. You're doing the best you can with what you have. And some of the police officers I spoke with suggested, you know, they said one of the reasons they can't remove, you know, transient people in the community that are wandering around that may appear to be mentally unwell, and whether it was drug induced or if it's just a psychotic disorder of some sort that needs mental health attending. The police are actually at this point in time, they're not allowed to arrest and remove those potential threats to, you know, vulnerable populations of children or the community without that individual of, you know, getting a mental health assessment first. And so it's called 5150 is the designation in hospitals and in police for a danger to someone who is a danger to self or a danger to others. And that classification needs to be assessed by a mental health or a medical professional. And the police, because they have to have this, their hands are tied basically because they're supposed to, you know, assess someone before they can take them away from being a crazy person, quote unquote. And the police suggested, you know, if you untie our hands and let us remove these potential threats to society, you're not going to deny the mental health assessment, but then it can be done at the mental health institution or mental health emergency room where the police are able to take those individuals that are acting odd or peculiar or potentially threatening in the local community or anywhere. Then the police are able to do their job and get those potential threats out of there. You're not denying the individual, you know, a mental health assessment, but you just, you know, you're not leaving that person there. So a three-year-old walks out in the alleyway or a pediatrician. I'm a pediatrician. So one of us doesn't have to walk out in broad daylight and talk someone down for 25 minutes so that they don't think they need to fight some imaginary, you know, enemy in the fence of our home garden. I brought the parking ticket information to the council office and the policeman's suggestions. And I said, look, I know you guys are doing the best you can. Thank you for your service. Thank you for everything you guys are doing. I really appreciate it. I do think it is unethical to be maintaining governing standards of practice and parking tickets, though, when you're not maintaining the same governing practices of, you know, protecting the citizens. And I just, the balance there is just you know, it's something that just needs to be addressed. And I said, this parking ticket, you had someone there giving out parking tickets, but not someone there to help me deal with a mentally unstable person who could have really hurt someone if he hadn't been talked down.
Was there a response?
The office, they're removing the ticket, and they apologized, and then they said they would, you know, schedule me a meeting appointment with Bonin, and I spoke also with Tristan Marler and David in their office, and they actually immediately did respond to what I was bringing up, because I brought it up in a way. I was like, I understand where you're coming from, but just, you know, work with me here. Like, can you see how this would be frustrating to anyone, especially someone who's, I try to do my job and serve, and their job is to kind of serve the community. And I said, is there any, you know, I just think this is something that can be addressed, and here's some suggestions from the people, the boots on the ground.
Right. Courtney, we have to go, but we're out of time. But can I just ask you quickly, they're investigating whether or not your home burned due to arson. They don't know yet, right?
They're investigating it for arson because the fire was started in the room where my dog was, and the only thing in that room was his water dog bowl, his dog food bowl, and him. And the alleyway behind my house is where there was an illegal dumpster that people were exchanging drugs out of in the street about a week or 2 weeks ago. And so he was probably barking at someone, and they, you know, he would have been barking. Normally, if I'm home, I can get him to be, you know, calm down, but he would have been barking at them. And the fire started in the room he was in, and next to the window that was next to the illegal dumpster that was underneath that window that we had tried to report and get removed, and it just stayed there. And that's, the fire was started in the room where my dog was. And he didn't fight and start the fire himself.
Yeah. Again, you have our sympathies, and we understand that you're going to donate some of the proceeds from the GoFundMe to the local shelter. And
I'm donating to the rescue shelter. And then I also just, what we also did is the office set up a meeting with LAPD and with the Venice Police Department to work with the local community and try to figure out a way to improve the situation. So hopefully something comes out of this that's going to help everyone. But thank you for...
Okay, Courtney. Thank you very much. And again, our sympathies. That's Courtney. She's a homeowner in Venice, but her home burned. Suspicion is arson, could be from homeless. You heard about the dumpster in the alleyway, and she lost her pet, a rescue animal by the name of Togo. You can follow the link, the GoFundMe, from our website.
John and Ken, KFI.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.